This week's Sedra starts out by Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Bahar Sinai, and it goes on to explain the laws of Shemitah, and it emphasizes the fact that these laws were given on Har Sinai. And the rabbis comment from that, Ma Shemitah Klaloseha Uprotoseha Mi Sinai, just like the laws of Shemitah were given in their generalities and in their details from Sinai, so too all the mitzvahs were given generalities and details at Sinai. Two questions. First of all, what does it mean, the generalities and the details? What are the generalities of a mitzvah and what's the details of a mitzvah? And secondly, if we're going to have a lesson that all of the mitzvahs were given at Sinai, both the generalities and the details, why did the Torah in fact use the mitzvah of Shemitah as the example? Why pick Shemitah to be the example for all the other mitzvahs? Okay, so first let's discuss what are the details and what are the generalities. The details are easy. The details are all of the halachos, the laws of how to perform a mitzvah properly. However, in order to be able to perform a mitzvah properly and to get the proper benefit from the mitzvah, the full benefit, you need also the generalities. The generalities include two things. First of all, it includes the proper attitudes, values, standards that a person has to have in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvahs properly. And then it also is the lessons that one gleans from the mitzvah that he can then apply to his entire life. So there's generalities as preparation for the mitzvah and generalities as the result of the mitzvah. Those are the generalities. Now let me explain what that means. There's an argument, seemingly, between the Vilna Gaon and the Dubna Magid as to how mitzvahs should be observed. If there is something special about mitzvahs being difficult, or just the opposite, mitzvahs being easy to do. The Vilna Gaon says the following. He says, he learns it from a pasuk in Megillas Rus, which has to do with Shavuos anyway. It says there that Naomi was discouraging Rus from converting and from accompanying her to Eretz Yisrael, as one is supposed to discourage a prospective convert, to make sure that they really mean it. And when did she stop discouraging her? When she saw how difficult it was for her to keep up with her. She was making an effort to keep up with her. Says the Vilna Gaon, if a mitzvah comes too easily, then it's a sign that it's not a quality mitzvah. Because if it would be a quality mitzvah, the satan would put up a fight and make it difficult. And since he's not making it difficult, it means he doesn't care. But don't go do it. It's not such a quality mitzvah. And a quality mitzvah is difficult to do.
Then what if it's over time?
Okay, hold off all the questions. If you have a question at the end.
Okay.
So when she saw that Ruth, a younger woman, is having a difficult time keeping up with the pace of this older woman, she realized that she must be doing this really l'shem shamayim, and therefore the satan's making it difficult for her, and therefore the mitzvah must be a quality mitzvah. She must really want to convert for the right purposes, and therefore she stopped discouraging her and she accepted her. The Dubna Magid says just the opposite. He says that on the pasuk, Lo osi korosa Yaakov, you haven't called on me, Yaakov, ki yagata b'Yisrael, because you're toiled too much. You're wearying yourselves too much. So he gives a marshal to explain the sentence. So somebody once left their luggage at the train station. He didn't have time to pick it up, and he sent his son to retrieve his suitcases. So son came home, and he's trudging up the stairs, huffing and puffing, and the father from behind the door says, go back and get my suitcase. He says, I have your suitcases. He says, no, you don't. He says, well, how do you know? You didn't even look. You're talking to me behind a closed door. He said, because if you're huffing and puffing up the stairs with what you think is my suitcase, I only had a small attaché case. So you must have taken somebody else's luggage. He says, same thing. If you're it's so difficult for you to keep the mitzvahs. They're obviously not my mitzvahs. They're not the mitzvahs that I gave you, because my mitzvahs are easy to keep. So it seems to be a diametrically opposed attitude here. The Vilna Gaon says mitzvahs have to be difficult if they're to be really quality mitzvahs. And the Dubna Maggid says mitzvahs have to be easy if they're God's mitzvahs, because God's mitzvahs are easy, not difficult. So which is it? I always like to explain the following. We're talking about two different things. The Vilna Gaon is not talking about a specific mitzvah. He's talking about the attitudes, the values, the standards that a person has to acquire before he can fulfill a mitzvah, before he's able to do the mitzvah. If you don't have the right values and standards, right, then the mitzvahs are going to be difficult, because they're going to conflict with your value system, with your attitudes, and so on. Right? An example, today we know there are women who consider themselves observant women who feel discriminated against, cheated by none other than God, that he didn't give them the ability to put on tefillin and tzitzis and be a prayer leader, a shliach tzibur, a chazan. And they feel that this hinders and hampers their relationship with God, and they're discriminated against. What drives these people? And I don't attempt to say that it's a simple idea and everybody's the same, but I want to tell you one factor that I think is significant. I can't accept that the major factor here is that these women are very, very spiritual, and they're just looking for a relationship with God, and it bothers them that they can't put on tefillin and have this relationship with God. Why is that hard for me to accept? Because that would imply that our grandmothers or great-grandmothers, great Jewish women of the past generations, weren't so spiritual, because they didn't bother them, they couldn't put on tefillin, right? So they were satisfied, stay in the kitchen, make their chocolate cakes, they didn't care about a relationship with God, but these women are so spiritual that it bothers them. I find that very difficult to accept. So what is it? I'll tell you what it is. If you were to ask a secular, non-Jewish person, right, I'm a fairy godmother, and I can wave my magic wand and give you one of two professions. Okay? You take the choice. You can be a movie star. Everybody will know who you are. You'll be famous. Your face will be a household icon. And you'll make a certain amount of money. You won't be that talented, but you'll be famous. Or I can wave my magic wand, and I can make you a producer, a director. You'll be behind the scenes. Nobody will ever see your face. They won't know who you are. Your name comes on the screen at the end in those little letters that nobody ever stays for anyway. And but you'll make the same amount of money, okay, and you'll be much more talented. Which profession do you think most people would choose if somebody could wave a magic wand and give them one of them? The first. Why? Because in a secular society, fame is a value to itself. To the point, to the absurd point, okay, that I was in Cleveland many years ago, I lived there, and there was a murder. Somebody murdered his neighbor. The police caught him, and he didn't resist, but they couldn't find out a motive. He didn't even know the neighbor. Finally, they got it out of him. He wanted to be famous, and he knew that murderers get their name and picture on the front page of a newspaper. Sick. Okay, that's sick. Okay, but there is such a value. Now, from a Torah standpoint, there is no value intrinsically of being famous, just the opposite. Intrinsically, it's better to be behind the scenes, because that which is hidden from view has more of a blessing. Great Torah leaders try to hide themselves and not become famous. Only when they were pushed into the limelight did they feel they had a responsibility to the Jewish people. But otherwise, they would rather stay behind the scenes. Therefore, the proof to that is, the more hidden something is, the more holy it is. The holiest place in the world was the Holy of Holies, which no one ever saw. Nobody ever made a spread in Better Homes and Gardens on the decor of the Holy of Holies. Right? Nobody saw it, except the Kohen Gadol once a year, and there was a smoke screen. Even he didn't see it. It's hidden from view completely. That was the holiest place in the world. if you grew up with Torah values, Torah standards, then how could a woman feel cheated that she is pushed into the background when that is what's positive? A man should feel cheated. How come God pushes me in the forefront? I have to be a chazan or whatever. Why can't I stay behind the scenes? But if you grow up with secular values, and being in the forefront is a value, right? That is a positive thing. And you're pushed into the background, then I can understand you feel cheated. But you only feel cheated because your value system is not the same value system as the Torah. So the mitzvahs are difficult. It's like trying to put something square on a round base. It doesn't go. If there's something round on a round base, it goes very nicely. So if you have the right basis, you can fit the mitzvahs perfectly. I saw Rabbi Hollander, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a young Israel rabbi in America. He said that people who have secular value system, but they want to be religious, they don't have 613 mitzvahs. They have 613 problems. Because every mitzvah is a conflict with their value system. So it's difficult to keep. But if you have the right values and standards, the mitzvah should be easy. The Vilna Gaon is talking about acquiring the right standards and values and attitudes. That's difficult. If it comes too easy, it's a sign that it's not quality. It's quality if it comes difficult. That's what Ruth was doing. She wasn't doing any specific mitzvah. She was accepting upon herself the whole value system, the whole attitudes of Judaism. That's difficult. And if you see it's difficult, you know it's quality. The Dubna Magid said, once you have that, then the mitzvahs are easy because they fit your values, they fit your standards. If they don't, if they're difficult for you, then it must be that you have don't have the right values and standards, and you're not doing my mitzvahs, you're doing something else. So both things are true. In acquiring the values and standards of Yiddishkeit, like the Vilna Gaon says, it has to come with difficulty. But once you have that, then the mitzvahs themselves are easy. So the first idea of generalities of the mitzvah is the mitzvahs need a general attitude, standards and values that you need before you can keep that mitzvah. So you have to prepare yourself for the mitzvah by adapting to be ma'atzev, to fashion out your attitudes and values and standards to fit the mitzvah. Okay, that's the one generality. Then there's another generality. And that is, the mitzvah is supposed to, once you do it, generate certain ideas that you're supposed to now apply to your entire life. The mitzvah isn't just for that moment. But you're supposed to acquire through the mitzvah values and standards, or not values, but ideas and lessons that you can apply to your life. Okay, and therefore, we speak about two things when it comes to a mitzvah. There's lishmoa likol Hashem, listening to what God said, and listening into what God said. Lishmoa bikol Hashem, which means the following. I do the mitzvah. Mitzvah is a very narrow thing, right? Shabbos is one day. But Shabbos is supposed to teach me that this world is a means to reach an end, and the end is the Shabbos, and you work 6 days a week, not for the sake of the 6 days, but for the sake of coming to a Shabbos. But just like in this world, you work towards the world to come. So therefore, work and earning a living or whatever is a means to reach an end. It's not an end in itself. So a person who works, what's it called, who keeps Shabbos meticulously, but the whole week he has one goal in life, earn another buck, so he's kept Shabbos, but he hasn't learned anything from Shabbos. He's listened to what God said, but he hasn't listened into what God said. He didn't understand what the lesson of Shabbos is that you're supposed to now apply to your whole life. What's God's will that is revealed through the mitzvah that you did that can now guide you in your entire life? That's a generality. So there's a generality before doing the mitzvah and that you need to be able to do the mitzvah properly. And then that's our standards and values and attitudes. And then there's the generality after you do the mitzvah of what you're supposed to learn from that mitzvah to apply to your entire life. Those are the klolim and the pratim, the details and the generalities. And that's interesting how the Torah presents the mitzvah of Shemitah. Torah says like this, when you come to the land of Israel, the Shav Saharet Shabbos Hashem, the land, you will see to it that the land takes a rest. But that's not what happened in the beginning, right? When they came to Eretz Yisrael, first of all, they had 14 years till they conquered it and divided it. After that, they began to count 6 years, and the seventh year was Shabbos. So it's not when you soon come into the land that the land's going to take a rest. That's not true. It was like 20 years later before it was a rest. First you conquered, divided, and then you counted 6 years. And then the Torah says, 6 years you should plant, and the seventh year the land takes a rest. So we're going over that. We just said already the land take a rest, as if it was the first thing. But the idea is, the order is like this. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, and you are conquering, and you are dividing it up, you should know that you better have the attitude that eventually, in the end of 20 years, the land's going to have to take a rest. And in order to leave the land fallow and to let it rest, you're going to have the right attitudes. Otherwise, if you think that this is your land, right, who's to tell you to not cultivate your land for one whole year? So you better get the right attitude to begin with, right, that this is God's land. And he's allowing you to plant it and plow it and conquer it and divide it up, right? But he demands from you that 1 year you leave it fallow. You leave it take a rest. So if it's God's land, you're very happy that the 20 years he let you to take care of it. And only 1 year he demands that it takes a rest. He has a right to tell you never to use it. But if it's your land, who's to tell me not to use my land for a year? So the first thing is, when you come to the land, before you conquer it, before you divide it up, before you plant it and plow it for 6 years, understand that you're going to have to let this land take a rest, and you better get the right attitudes and values in order to be able to do that. That's the first thing. That's the generality. Then, in fact, you plant and plow for 6 years or whatever in preparation, planting and plowing with the right values, with the right attitudes, and then the seventh year, you'll be able to have the year of Shemitah. And then that will, again, have a influence over how you plant and plow the next 6 years. So, you need to acquire the right attitudes. That's the generalities before the mitzvah. And then you need that the mitzvah should instill in you various lessons that you then will apply to your entire life. Those are the generalities after the mitzvah. And that's why it's interesting. It says that the last letters of the words Sheish Shonim Tizra, 6 years you should plant, is Shema. Now, I would say that the Shema should be hinted to in the Shemitah, not in the 6 years that you're planting and plowing. That's not the case. First, you need the Shema. Shema is, I accept that God is the boss. Hashem Elokeinu, God is one. Everything emanates from Him. Shema Yisrael is Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemaim. I accepting upon me the yoke of God's kingdom. It's His world. Okay? When do I have to accept that? Before Shemitah. When I'm planting and plowing the 6 years, I better get that attitude, because otherwise I won't be able to keep Shemitah. Because if I think it's my land, right, and I'm the boss over here, then why in the world would I want to leave my land fallow for a year? But if it's God's land, then He graciously let me use it for 6 years, and all He wants is I should stop using it for 1 year. It's easy to do, if I have the right attitude. So the Shema is hinted to in the 6 years you plant, not in the seventh year, because you need to get that attitude, that Shema, before Shemitah comes. That's why there are six words in Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, to represent these 6 years of planting and plowing. Okay. It's just like regular Shabbos. The regular Shabbos, there is the Shabbos that is the goal of the week, and the Shabbos that is the preface to the week. You need the concept of Shabbos to be able to instill in the week how to work properly. That, what are you working towards? Are you working for this world? Are you working to prepare for the next world? So Shabbos teaches me the goal of everything is the world to come, is spiritual. So now when I work, I instill that lesson into my work during the year, during the week. At the same time, I prepare for Shabbos by getting the right standards and values during the week, so I'm able to keep Shabbos. So Shabbos is the end of the week. Shabbos is also the beginning of the week. A lot of things we do the Shabbos before, because whatever's going to happen during the week, the Shabbos before is significant. So just like Shabbos has a connection to the week to come and the week before, and the idea is prepare for the Shabbos so you'll be able to keep the Shabbos with the right attitudes, and then take what you learned on Shabbos and apply it during the week. Same thing goes with Shemitah, and it applies to all the mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs are preparation for the mitzvah by getting the right standards, values, and attitudes, and then applying the lessons you learn from the mitzvah into your regular life. And it comes out that a whole life, therefore, is one big preparation, right? And one big lesson for the future. And therefore, our whole life we're counting. And it says in the Torah, that's what life is all about. Limnos yomeinu kein hoda. God, let us know how to count our days. We have time in this world. You have to count it. Counting means I'm preparing. I'm looking, I'm preparing towards something by counting. But it also, the words lispor can also mean to clarify. Saphir is a diamond or a certain kind of, it's not a sapphire, but some kind of very, very precious diamond-like thing, a saphir. And it comes from the word crystallize, to crystal, crystallize, to define and clarify. That's the word saphir. So when you count, you do two things. You prepare for some future, and you clarify something. That's exactly the generalities of the mitzvah. The generalities are preparation to be able to do the mitzvah by getting the right attitudes, and clarifying from the mitzvah what I'm supposed to apply to my life. And it all is in preparation for that big Shabbos called the world to come. And therefore, our whole life we're counting. Every day we count toward Shabbos. This is the first day in the week toward Shabbos, second day toward Shabbos, third day Shabbos, and the first day from Shabbos, second day from Shabbos. Both things on both sides. And then once a year we count towards our real yearly acceptance of the Torah. Another counting. And then every year we count towards the next Shemitah. 7 years. And every 7 years towards the Yovel of the 50 years. Person's life is one counting towards and counting from, both ideas. And it's interesting that corresponds to the lifetime of a person, counting 50 years. Why? Because the Marsha explains that a person's lifetime is about 70 years. Right? That's a Torah lifetime. Okay, 70 years. You could live longer than that, but a Torah lifetime is 70 years. And the first 20 years of a person's life don't really count, because you're not really held and responsible in the heavenly court till you're 20. So out of the 70 years, 50 are significant years. That's what we count, 50. From, what's it called? 50 years, we're always counting, because it's like counting a person's life. That's the idea. And so what is this preparation? What attitudes do you need to be able to keep Shemitah? So the idea is, the Sfarno says something interesting. He says that even though God created heaven and earth, and he gave the earth to human beings, Ha'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam, that applies to every other land except for the land of Israel. I came from Miami. Grew up in Miami. In Miami they have rentals, or you can buy a house, or you can live in a condominium. What's the difference between a house that you buy and a condominium? A house that you buy is yours. Do whatever you want with it. You can destroy it. You can write on the walls. You can do whatever you want. A condominium, right, it's not usually yours. It's yours under condition. Right? You're buying it, and it's what's it called? It really belongs to some big owner, and you're what's it called? You're, it's not renting. But it's yours if you understand that you have to keep certain conditions. The whole world, God sold. Eretz Yisrael, he kept as a condominium. It's his. And we have a right to live there if we keep the right conditions. It's not. It reminds us that this world is not ours. It's God's world. And if we keep the conditions, that's why it says, Geirin v'toshavim, you are strangers and dwellers by me. And the Mepharshim explain, if we understand that we're strangers, meaning it's not ours, we're living because God gave us permission to live here under certain conditions, then it's ours. It's ours under those conditions. If we don't understand that, we think it's ours intrinsically, then it's not ours. It's only ours if we understand that we're living here because God gave us permission to live here under certain conditions. Okay. So therefore, that's what it means. The greatest preparation for a mitzvah is for Shemitah. 6 years it takes to prepare for that. And the greatest time of applying that lesson from that mitzvah for the next time is another 6 years. And the greatest time of learning that lesson is Shemitah, where the mitzvah is a whole year long. Most mitzvahs take a few minutes, an hour, whatever. This is a year-long mitzvah. So it's the example for all the other mitzvahs. Here you have the greatest preparation, the greatest time to do the mitzvah and inculcate the lesson, and the greatest time to apply the lesson. That's what mitzvahs are. Prepare your attitude so you can do the mitzvah, apply the lesson to the future. And Shemitah has the greatest time span for all three of these things, if therefore it is the representation. And what is the idea from Sinai? At Har Sinai, we accepted God's kingdom. It wasn't just that he gave us a bunch of mitzvahs. He gave us mitzvahs throughout the entire time. But what happened at Mount Sinai, specifically, is before we got any mitzvahs, God made it clear, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the Lord your God. Accept my rule of the world, and then we can give you mitzvahs. If you don't accept that, there's no mitzvahs to give. So the first idea of Har Sinai was Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That means accepting God's jurisdiction over us. Right? And that it's His world. And that's what Shemitah represents. The preparing for Shemitah is, I understand that I conquered Eretz Yisrael, I divided it up, but it's not intrinsically mine. It's mine because God gave it to me, and He gave it to me on condition. If I keep those conditions mine. And one of the conditions is that 1 year I give up my ownership on it. And I remember that it's God's. So in order to be able to do that, I have to first get the right attitude before Shemitah comes. While I'm planting and plowing, the first 6 years, I should realize whose land is that I'm working. What I'm doing over here. Then I can keep Shemitah. Once I keep the Shemitah, it reminds me that I am not the owner of this land, and I was given the land for a purpose, and if I work that land properly, the fruit becomes holy. And I can reach Shabbos, meaning if I use this world properly, I can get to the world to come. It's a means to get to the world to come. Shabbos, the people can begin to think that they're in control of this world in two ways. One is by the fact that they can create and destroy. How use the world, how they function within the world, that's the regular Shabbos. And therefore the Torah says, stop doing malacha, don't do creative acts, you're not the creator. Shemitah is another thing. Shemitah, people think that they own the world. It's my world, not I can use the world, right, any way I want, but I own this world. It comes along the Torah and says, no, you don't own this world. It's God's land, it's not yours. And God gave you permission to live here and the ability to live here on condition. And if you use the land properly, you'll prepare for the world to come. So that's what Shemitah is supposed to teach me. This world could be a holy place. The fruit of this world is holy. The fruit becomes holy. But in order to understand that, you're not the owner of this world. You were given this world to be able to create that holy fruit. Right? So 6 years you plant and you plow and you use the world, 1 year already is something beyond this world. So Shemitah teaches me that I'm not the owner of the world. That's why in Shemitah, the main things that are prohibited are not the creative activities like Shabbos. But the major things that are prohibited from the Torah is planting and plowing and pruning. On Shabbos, pruning is only a tolda. It's not a main work. Right? It's only similar to works of making things grow. So by pruning it, you make... But pruning shows that I'm the owner. Only the owner can go and cut off branches from his tree to make the tree grow better. Right? If you're not the owner, how do you cut off branches from somebody else's tree? So I have the ability to destroy that tree, but to destroy it for the sake that I'll get more fruit. So that shows I'm an owner. Torah says, no, you can't do that at Dori Shemitah. You're not the owner. God's the owner. Don't cut off branches off his trees. Right? Don't use the ground to plant. It's not your ground. You have no right to it. All these things show ownership, and that's why they're prohibited during during Shemitah. And they, what's it called, represent the fact that if you use this world properly, you're not the owner, but you have the rights to use it. And if you use it properly, you will create a Shabbos. That's what this world is all about. The Meiri says, Olam Haba is the fruit of this world. Here you plant the seeds, and there you eat the fruit, and the fruit there is holy. So if 6 years you work properly and understand you're working on God's earth, and He gave you permission to do it in order to create a world to come, it's a means to reach an end, then you've used this world properly. And that is the attitude you need before Shemitah. That's the lesson that you get during Shemitah, and that's what you apply to the next 6 years after Shemitah. And that could be that it says that there's three aspects in doing mitzvahs later on in Devarim. Beficha uvilvavcha lasoso. Your mouth, your heart, action. Meaning the following. The main things are preparing with your mouth. With your mouth, you what's it called? You prepare and dedicate and designate what it is you're going to do. First I have to designate, right, by getting the right attitudes, what I'm going to do. Then you end up doing it. And then after that, you get into your heart, what's the lesson from it that I can apply? So the beticha and the bevavcha really go together. First you have to designate as preparation, and then you have to have it in your heart as the aftermath. And in between of all of that is doing. Doing is just an opportunity to be able to prepare for the doing and to apply the doing. The main thing is the preparation and the application. And the doing is the thing that enables all of that. So it's beficha v'vavcha, the mouth and the heart. Those are the main things. And the lasoso is sandwiched, comes last, because it really is just an opportunity to be able to prepare for it and to be able to apply it afterwards. Okay, therefore, the more you prepare, especially by Shemitah, you have 6 years to prepare for Shemitah, okay, the more you prepare, the more quality the mitzvah is. And that's why the Chiddush HaRim says that it says that Shiluach HaKein, sending away the mother bird, when you chance upon a bird's nest, is a mitzvah kala. It's a very light mitzvah. He says, why is it a light mitzvah? Because you can't prepare for it. It only happens if you chance upon it. If you have the nest in your possession, you don't, there's no mitzvah. So therefore, a mitzvah you can't prepare for, that only comes when you chance upon it, can't be a weighty mitzvah, because you didn't prepare. Mitzvahs become, what's it called, weighty and more quality when you prepare more. And part of the preparation is learning the laws of Shemitah. Right, so that's what people should be doing now, learning the laws of Shemitah, learning the ideas of Shemitah before it comes. So you have the right attitudes, and then you'll be able to keep it easily. And then when you keep it for a year, you'll inculcate within yourself the lessons of Shemitah, and then be able to apply them the next 6 years till the next Shemitah. That is, right, Shemitah now, since all Jews don't live in Eretz Israel, and we're not divided up by our tribes, so Shemitah is only rabbinic today. But when all Jews will be here and Mashiach will come, one of the things that Mashiach will change and institute is that Shemitah and Yovel will become effective from the Torah again. So Mir Hashem, hopefully, maybe even by this Shemitah, we have still a few months left, Mashiach will come and this Shemitah will be a real Shemitah from the Torah. And if it's a Shemitah from the Torah, there's no argument that you can't rely on selling the land to a goy, and there's no more arguments. Everybody will have to keep Shemitah, right, one, what's it called, in the same way, and that'll bring tremendous unity to the Jewish people. Anyway, Mashiach will be here, so that's something to look forward to.